Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is held from Psalms 143, verses 8 through 12. It says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of rightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all of them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant."
Kemp's Redly turtles are born in the Gulf of Mexico. While swimming in their home waters, they are often caught in the Gulf Stream and transported up to Cape Cod Bay, and sometimes even further, to the Gulf of Maine. These critically endangered turtles happily summer in these waters, far from home, because there's plenty of good food to sustain them. When the season is over, the natural route of departure is for them to re-enter the Gulf Stream and return to Florida or Mexico, when they will never leave again. However, the cold temperatures, high winds, and forceful tides become a natural disaster for these charming little animals. Many of them, as they head home to southern waters, are swept off and into the Gulf Stream and set off course by the Cape Cod Bay. When the temperatures go below 55 degrees, the metabolism for these reptiles slows down. And because they are cold-blooded, they tend to go to the ocean floor and they try to burrow into the sand, waiting for the temperature to change. If the temperature gets colder, their consciousness is altered, and they are carried then up to the shore by the winds and the high tide and deposited on the beaches, sometimes flipped over on their backs, and always stunned with inactivity. Exposed to the severe weather, they are left to perish. In response to this seasonal natural catastrophe, the Massachusetts Bay Wellfleet Audubon Society for Cape Cod developed a turtle stranding network. This network consists of 425 volunteers, and my friend Pam is one of them. In the cold, dark pre-dawn November and early December, these dedicated nature lovers bundle up against the whipping wind off the ocean, and with flashlights in hand, they trek along the beaches that they are assigned to at low tide, looking for Kemp's Redlys. When they are found, whether dead or alive, they are taken up past the high tide line, where the volunteers scoop up a little space in the sand, put the turtles in it, place seaweed over them, and a marker next to the bodies. The volunteers then alert the Wellfleet Bay Sanctuary scientists, who come and pick up the Kemp's Redlys and transport them back to their facility. Here, those that are dead are frozen for later investigation, and those that are still alive are set in a regimented, thorough process of rehabilitation. When ready, the turtles are then taken to the Quincy branch of the New England Aquarium, for a long-term rehabilitation. Needless to say, I'm absolutely fascinated by the commitment demonstrated by this entire organization to rescue a creature that most of us hardly ever find on our personal radar. I am also, by way of metaphor, compelled to ponder the phenomenon of our overwhelming human need to be rescued. The variety and depth of our needs vary according to our own individual circumstances. Because the needs of so many of those that we love and care for are on the rise, I have actually found it necessary to divide my intercessory prayers into categories so I won't forget to pray for everyone. Young people who need a job, young women who are with destructive men, friends who suffer from depression, operations that went wrong like cataracts or knee replacements or spinal injuries, diseases that have become commonplace, cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, young widows that are stricken with unbearable loss, older widows that ache with the monotony of loneliness. In my personal prayers, there's not less than three people in every category that I just mentioned. And I bet it's the same for you when you kneel and pray for the needs of those you love. When I have come to the end of the list of everyone we know who needs God's rescue, we come to the deepest need of all, our family. Our spouses, our sons, our daughters, our son-in-laws, our daughter-in-laws, our grandsons, our granddaughters, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, all those who have the same blood that we have. Now our prayers become desperate. Our words fail us, and we moan as we beg God, as Abraham did, God, for the sake of 10, save my family for your kingdom. Being in need of rescue means that we must acknowledge the profound reality that we, like the turtles, are totally incapable of saving ourselves. Divine rescue is our only hope. This morning, let's look at just two Bible stories that prove God's power to save. His incredible, creative, never-ending power to rescue us. Two examples of raw, uncompromising human need. Moses, in his floating basket among the reeds along the Nile, and Daniel, in the den of lions, ferocious, carnivorous, bloodthirsty lions. Let us first consider the devastating need of Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The catalyst of need is Pharaoh's order that every Hebrew boy must be thrown into the Nile. When this Levite woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, the Bible tells us that she saw her son and he was beautiful, and she hid him for 3 months. What was she thinking? How long did she imagine that she could hide her son? Jochebed's was a heart-wrenching, life-threatening need. She needed to save her son. This woman had three monumental handicaps. She was a slave, she was a Hebrew, and she was a woman. In addition to these circumstances, there was the numbing, ever-present threat that any action that she might have taken would be in disregard to Pharaoh and the law of the land. Jochebed is also a Levite woman, a woman of prayer. We know that Moses gave no inheritance to the tribe of Levi because the Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance. I have always imagined that the Levites must have been very close to God. Jochebed did take action. The Bible says she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it within without with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child into it and put him in the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Incredible as it may seem, God sends Pharaoh's own daughter to rescue Moses. The precious, beautiful little turtle, the baby Moses, is taken out of the water and returned to his mother. By the direction of God and through the intervention of his sister Miriam, Moses was rescued. Our next example is the paralyzing human need that is found in the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was a brilliant statesman, a prophet, an interpreter of dreams, a proven man of God. The impetus for Daniel's need of rescue was politics, jealousy, and manipulative deceit. He was more than 80 years old when he was thrown to the lions. Now, if you will, please open your book to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse 4. And we'll just see exactly what kind of a need Daniel had. Okay, Daniel 6, verse 4. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was any error fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to them, "King Darius, live forever." You know, they said that they thronged to this king. There was a lot of people that were against Daniel and his faith in God. All the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps, the counselors and the advisors, they consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Can you picture how many people were against him? They took the time. They must have had nothing else to think about. They all got together against one man. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. They started out flattering him and he fell for it because he really loved Daniel and he was sorry when he found that he'd been tricked into this decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God. He was his custom since early in his life. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day." And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians. No decree or stature which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Even the king of the land could not change the law. Daniel's need was beyond everything except divine help. As incredible as it may seem, God sent his angels to close the lion's mouth. Think back for a moment to the time when you first encountered the seemingly impossible rescues that are found in the Holy Scriptures. Before you knew or could imagine how God was ever going to rescue those Israelites when the Egyptians were behind them in hot pursuit and the immovable Red Sea was in front of them. When the woman who was caught in adultery red-handed. When Paul the Apostle needed rescuing for himself. When a 90-year-old woman and her 100-year-old husband needed to have a son for the continuation of the people of God. What a miraculous, mind-boggling mystery is the power of God to rescue us. Now let's turn back to the Kemp's Redley that I hoped you were watching on the screen earlier. Between November and December this past winter, the volunteers from the Turtle Stranding Network found a total of 736 Kemp's Redleys. They had washed up on the Cape Cod beaches. 375 were alive and 361 were dead. The winter before, in 2017, the volunteers found 400 Kemp's Redleys, turtles. In the spring of 2018, all the rehabilitated turtles were rescued in the winter before, in 2017, were released. And my friend Pam was given the privilege, the honor, the unspeakable joy to release one of the very own turtles that she had rescued the winter before. I was there to witness the event. I watched the line of rescued turtles that all these rehabilitated turtles were spread across the beach, and there were two ropes on the side, and all of us onlookers were standing on both sides of the ropes. And I watched these turtles spread across, walking slowly back to the water and swim away home while all the hundreds of us were standing there cheering them on. And you know, a turtle's a turtle, whether they're going home or not. They went very slowly, and we kept cheering. I read once that God lends us the dignity to help him. We are the people of God's church. We are the Soul Stranding Network. We go out just before dawn with our spiritual flashlights in hand. We have the training from the scriptures to go out and rescue 3-month-old babies or 80-year-old men. We have been given the compassion and the insight to recognize those who are in need. With God's gentle, merciful guidance, we possess the honesty to identify our own need of rescue and the courage to ask for help. The winds and the tides and the temperatures and the currents of the times in which we live are treacherous handicaps for us all. But I heard the Lord say to Jochebed, to Daniel, to David, to each one of us, I heard God say in the book of Psalms, because he loves me, because she loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will rescue her. I will protect them, for they acknowledge my name. They will call upon me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. With me, all things are possible. I heard him say that. I heard him say that. Amen. Dear Lord, we wait for your rescue, and we pray that we will know how to rescue those who are around us, so when you come, we'll be a great multitude. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.